week on the Koshcast. Mourinho drops Rooney and the resulting earthquake changes the footballing landscape radically enough that it allows Arsenal to finally and emphatically defeat Chelsea. At Anfield, Klopp's red men give out a hull of a beating, leaving Mike feeling a little down on his birthday. City wring the swan's neck as Gidolin heads for the guillotine, and West Ham put in another slovenly performance as Southampton capitalise in the London Stadium. There's a dash of European intrigue as Real get lost amongst the palms, Barcelona take their turn at kicking the donkey, and in Italy, Roma hit peak Roma as they lose to Joe Hart's Torino. We finish with a look back at Toronto FC's draw with Philadelphia Union that actually clinched them a playoff spot, while Moomoo of the Week and Carlos Quizroz keep everyone on their toes. Welcome aboard. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and much unlike the Etihad, we've got a full house here today.
Hey.
Mohamed on the left.
Like, am I playing left wing?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, bombing down the left.
How are you?
Give the ball to Bernie.
Oh, I like that.
Cut inside on my right foot.
Oh, well, you're not passing it, that's it.
just running inside.
Yeah.
Well, Roche, you'll have to tackle Bernie then.
Well, I guess I'm actually just receiving the ball and finishing it then.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Which leaves Alex where?
Manager.
Oh, yeah. I started the move.
Of course.
Nice.
That's confidence from a big man there.
Of course, thank you.
Yeah.
Talismanic striker.
Anyone played any football this weekend? Or is that all hypothetical?
I played yesterday. Back campus at UFT. I used the Open Sports app.
Nice.
Which was, you know, it's weird because I've never associated like technology and football.
I thought you were going to say you don't use apps.
No, I don't use any technology.
You're like Tony Pulis, like
yeah,
dinosaur.
Yeah, like it's technology like, football. You call a few guys, you go play football. But like I was actually sitting around, I was like, well, I don't know if people are going to be there.
Right.
And they were, so on the app and I went.
The rest of us are the Sam Allardyces, we have technology.
Yeah. PowerPoint presentation.
I sent faxes to get people together.
Prozone.
Yep.
All right, very nice. More football or is it quiz time?
I think it's quiz time.
All right.
Welcome to this edition of The Quiz, hosted by Carlos Quizroz.
Hey!
Any guesses who that is?
I'm Carlos Quiroz.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. I don't know, it just didn't sound that close.
How many of these can we?
We're gonna need like 50 a season.
Oh, so. There's a few. Alright. Yeah, we got them lined up.
I mean, anything with Christian in the name.
Yeah, Chris. You guys ready? Bernie, can you remind us of your buzzing noise? Roche?
That was easy.
Alex. Alright, fantastic. You ready?
Yep.
Here goes. Who is the only Englishman to have played a Champions League final but never got a cap for England?
Ooh.
Want options?
Yes.
Or hints? Which
options.
Would you prefer?
Is it a multiple choice question?
I can give you multiple choice, or would you like hints? He played for Liverpool in that final.
Oh.
No? All right. Well, I mean, now the options.
That was easy.
Stephen Finnan.
No.
He's Irish.
He's not English.
Anyways, here are the options. Jonathan Greening. Kieran Gibbs. Jermaine Pennant. Bernie.
Jermaine Pennant.
Well done. The hit makes the much easier.
I want video replay.
Yeah.
My next guess would have been Warnock, but that's also wrong.
Yes.
Anything
but Jermaine Pennant.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, here's question number two. You can name as many as you like. This is not multiple choice, all right? Just name them. Just speed name them.
Okay.
Seven players who played for all three. Juve, Milan, and Inter.
Wait, do we have to buzz?
Do we have to buzz or just name?
Sure, buzz.
Sorry,
seven players.
Inter?
You don't have to get them all.
Inter, Juventus, and AC?
Yes.
That was easy.
Roche.
Zlatan?
Yes. No. Well, Roche keeps going. That's one.
Ronaldo?
No, you're off. That's it.
Pirlo?
Yes. Anyone else?
I'll come back to it.
No? Legendary Italian striker, left foot?
No, Del Piero did not do that.
No. Vieri? Yeah. Guy who wears glasses on
Checo
the field.
David.
Yep. Arsenal legend in midfield.
Vieira. Oh yes, he started at AC Milan before he went to Arsenal.
I've got two so far. I'm just telling you.
Okay. A stadium's named after this guy.
Giuseppe
Meazza. Well done. That's Bernie's. And the last one missed the very crucial penalty for Italy in a World
Baggio.
Cup. Yes.
Oh,
so that's. Let me just recap those really quickly. That's Giuseppe Meazza, Baggio, Vieri, Davids, Vieira, Ibra, and Pirlo.
So how do the points work?
Well, we'll listen back and everyone gets the point for the one.
I've got two, Roche's got two, and Bernie's got one.
Sure. And I got one. All right.
But that's 2-2-1-1. I'll take
your one.
Okay. Who's the seven?
Right, two each.
Bernie's a charity case.
Question number three. Luca Toni has played for so many clubs, but how many exactly? Options. 7, 8, 10.
Alex.
10.
Nope.
That was easy.
8.
Nope. 7. No, because I still didn't give you the fourth option, Alex.
13.
Well done.
He looked at the, paper.
Yes.
No. He cheated on me.
No. It doesn't matter. It was the last option, and it was his third.
I actually had 13 in my head, and then Mahana said 10. I thought that was the last option, and I was like, oh.
All right, last question. What do all these guys have in common? Begovic, Howard, Robinson.
That was
goalkeepers.
No way.
But that's not the answer. Okay, but sure, but you know, they're also all men. Like,
wow.
Schmeichel and Friedel.
Go again.
Begovic, Howard, Robinson, Schmeichel, and Friedel. There's no multiple choice in this one. If you don't get it, you don't get it. Bernie.
Is it manager?
Nope.
Once more.
Begovic, Howard, Robinson, Schmeichel for Aston Villa, and Friedel.
They both scored a goal.
Well done.
Yes.
Ooh, well done.
All right. Nice. So that concludes the quiz this week.
Awesome. So we start our footy analysis with the English Premier League.
As usual. Yeah.
Which games are we going over first?
Let's visit London.
Yeah. Start with the big game of the weekend. The ones that make our two Arsenal supporters extremely happy.
I mean, this pod is going to be very happy for all of us. Let's start with the two on this side of the table.
Okay.
Alex, how did you feel about this game?
Nervous beforehand. Right. Well, you know, Arsenal were in a better position than Chelsea coming into this, but there's just nothing. There's just nothing that can allow you to be optimistic about this as an Arsenal fan. But we just absolutely battered them.
Well, I mean, the stats that won't make you feel comfortable going into the game is that we haven't, you know, beaten Chelsea in like 9 attempts, haven't scored a goal against them in the league since 2011.
Really?
It's been 5 years.
Oh, so since the 5-2?
Since the 5-3 that we beat them there, Van Persie days. And then Wenger on his 1,000 game last year or whatever the year before got demolished 6-0. Like, there's a lot of bad history. Drogba before that,
not
scoring
a goal.
Single, not a goal.
Wow.
Five years. Yeah.
Okay.
And now they kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chelsea really offered nothing. I mean, it's bizarre. Arsenal played brilliantly. This was, and Wenger has pointed out, the best I've seen Arsenal play in years.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely years.
Within City 2-0, I'd say, as well, a few seasons ago.
Yeah, although that was a far more defensive performance.
True.
But Chelsea offered very little. They were really bad. I mean, they couldn't deal with the high press. And what's interesting is they got battered by Liverpool last week when Liverpool pressed their defence. And they did nothing about it in between. And Arsenal just figured, right, well, we'll do the same thing. And Chelsea folded again. Gary Cahill is making a name for himself.
Well, Cahill's third mistake in 3 games running. First one, giving the ball away for what he thought was a foul. And then I can't remember who scored.
Leroy Fer.
And then this last week, he kind of, his really weak clearance to Henderson that, you know, sure, he was unlucky with the great finish from Henderson, but still, it could have been a much better clearance. And then this week, Sanchez nicked the ball off him. And what a finish, though, from Sanchez. And
delicious.
A lot of people are talking about him starting up front. They weren't sure about how that would work out. And it's worked out great so far.
I think Wenger, like, you know, he really won the tactical battle in this game. And I think that the goals looked like they were hot knife cutting through butter, to be honest. And David Luiz, for me, was the worst Chelsea defender. I'm not quite sure why Gary Cahill's getting pointed out. Maybe he made some individual errors.
Well, his were more obvious, I think.
More obvious. But there was actually a play where Chelsea attempted to play the offside trap. And David Luiz is ball watching and just jogging back to his goal.
Well, I think we all agree that he's not the best of defenders.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not why you buy him.
Yeah, yeah.
But sorry to interrupt, but that's not why you buy David Luiz. We get that. But they wanted a real centre-back.
Apparently he was their fifth choice. Like, they were just running out.
That's my problem. That's why I said before that this transfer window for them was an absolute shambles, because they have their fifth choice centre-back who they got rid of in the first place for not being a good enough defender. And that showed, because Gary Cahill can't play with David Luiz because there are two calamities waiting to happen.
Right.
And then Marcos Alonso had one of the most pathetic games I've ever seen. He got wrecked. Absolutely wrecked every time.
Well, you know, I gotta give a shout out. We're talking about Chelsea's defense. I gotta give a shout out to Arsenal's defense, because Chelsea's first shot on target came in like the 80-something minute or something like that. And you know, Mustafi and Koscielny are starting to really put together a strong centre-back pairing. Mustafi was a lot of money. $35 million for a centre-back, especially a Wenger centre-back, is something unheard of. And they bullied Costa. Costa was so frustrated all game. Mm-hmm. They did such a good job on him. And then you had Bellerin, who was incredible. Monreal was just, you know, basic, solid, steady. And those guys with Coughlin in front for the first half an hour, Coughlin was fantastic. Unfortunately for him, he got injured. Xhaka came on and continued the job. And they looked so good at the back that, you know, that's what you need. You need to, the base has to be there for you to flourish up front.
Well, yeah. You have to look at, when you talk about the defense, like you're saying, the thing I like about that defense is they all know their job. They all know their role. And positionally, I was watching Mustafi, because you don't get to watch too much of Valencia, right? And his positional sense was outstanding, because you will get bullied by Costa if you're in the wrong position and let him get in those spots that he wants to be in. But Koscielny and Mustafi, brilliant, brilliant job. And that's the basis of team defense. If you can't get that back four right, the rest of it will not follow. Yeah. And it looks like Arsene Wenger's maybe has gotten it right.
It was. And I was actually really impressed too by, I mean, to a man, Arsenal were brilliant. There's really no one you can leave out. Iwobi was fantastic.
Oh, Iwobi. And I mean, he got one Man of the Match award.
Did he? Yeah. Okay. Totally deserved. For a 19-year-old, what he's doing at the moment is spectacular. Ozil was
phenomenal.
Incredible. The way he turned Kante and started and finished that third goal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was actually surprised, because he turned Kante, and there's like most of the field left to run, and Kante couldn't catch it, which is extremely surprising.
As Plaqueta as well, I was looking at both, and Chelsea looked tired.
They looked very tired.
Yeah. The minute he turned Kante, I'm like, oh, great turn. Kante's going to catch up, though, and Ozil's going to have to do that cut in where he can't, you know, run, like he can't outpace someone. Mm-hmm. But Kante just was nowhere near. He kind of faded out of the shot, as if Plaqueta was the same.
Yeah. That brings really up an interesting question based on this point that Alex started, is that when he turned Kante, right, and saying that Kante couldn't catch Ozil, and Kante caught everything last season.
Yeah.
What I wonder is this: does this bring up a question of Chelsea's training method? Because we know that Antonio Conte's training methods, a bit like Klopp, are very, very
intense.
And the way they play is very, very intense. Are they tired already? Because, like you said, Marcus Alonso, Azpilicueta, they all looked done.
They did.
Very early on in this game.
They did.
They did have a League Cup encounter against Leicester.
120 minutes
of a game. And that was also a very high-energy game. So it's quite possible they were tired.
That is a very good point.
And if you saw, you know, when Pedro did have a breakaway for Chelsea, you have Bellerin completely outpacing him off the ball and making that tackle.
Bellerin is fast.
That was the tackle of the weekend. And you can see that, you know, Chelsea were blunt in attack and defense.
And after, I forget exactly how long into the game, but Conte went to a 3-5-2. He brought off Cesc, which was quite funny, because it's like there's been this clamour to have Cesc back in the team because Matic has been contributing absolutely nothing, which is fair enough. But he brings Cesc in, he makes absolutely no impact, and then takes him out again to change the system to one that he actually prefers, which is three at the back. And they actually did look better once they switched to that.
Well,
they
it was had
Azpilicueta on the right, Alonso on the left, and then three at the back. And, you know, but this might be something we see going forward.
There's a question. I mean, the last two games they've played, they've been blown out in the first half.
Yeah. Mm.
First by Liverpool, then by Arsenal.
It's that high press Alex was talking about. Like, they can't cope with it.
But this is a Conte team. They're known for their energy, so he must be not communicating something.
I'm just not sure it is a Conte team, because, like we said, it took him a while to get into the job because of the Euros. It took him a while to get signings, and not one single signing that he signed was a guy that he actually really wanted. So I'm not sure that this is a Conte team necessarily.
I mean, people were talking about, well, is he going to revert to three center backs? He needs three fit center backs to do that. And right now, he doesn't. Terry was out injured this game. Zuma is obviously still injured or coming back or whatever. So he actually doesn't even have the option of playing three, even if he wanted to.
Well, what he did in this game was have Ivanovic as a centre-back. Right.
Who, by the way, was one of the worst players on the field.
He's been like that for 2 seasons. Yes.
This is what I'm going on to mention. Like, how the guy is still in the team, I really don't understand, especially at right-back. He might be able to survive a bit longer as one of three as a centre-back, but at right-back, he is atrocious.
By the way, you guys brought up a point of the Arsenal players, everyone was brilliant. Absolutely everyone, including Theo Walcott, which you just don't normally say.
Yeah.
And what made this incredible for me, that for every Arsenal player being great, is that we've talked about Chelsea, and we've talked about how this season a certain Eden Hazard needs to step up. It's very, very early. Still haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And that's going to be problematic.
I mean, Hazard was a factor in their first three games. They won their first three games. Let's not forget about that. They've lost the last two against Liverpool and Arsenal. So there has been something.
But their wins weren't that convincing. One of them was a very last minute.
Well, Costa got two last minute winners.
Yeah, right? I know. And I'm glad you brought up Theo just as a point here, because he does deserve praise. We give him a lot of stick. I do. A lot of Arsenal fans do, because he can do better. But what we've seen from him this season is his work rate has been it's been the highest on the team. He was running up and down that field as if he was the right back and the right wing at the same time. It was so good to see that you can make up for a slight lack of technical ability if you just work hard.
Slight.
And his crossing has been improved. That second goal, when Walcott was right at the heart of the box and he finished it easily, is because that's why Walcott plays, because Sanchez drops as a false nine. Mm-hmm. You need the player who will be in that box instead of Sanchez. Ox won't do it. That's why Walcott plays right now, because Wenger realizes that when Sanchez drops, you need a striker mentality to be in that box. And that's what Theo does.
It will be interesting to see how this Sanchez experiment pans out against monster defenders, against City's defense, against Bailly, that type of player who actually knows what they're doing, against people level of Koscielny and Mustafi. Yeah. That will be interesting.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, I guess we can move on from here to the other side of this table, where United beat Leicester convincingly 4-1, and your boy Pogba finally having a fantastic game.
Yeah, it was a great game from, a first-half perspective. Started high energy. It looked like a completely different side from the United we've seen in recent weeks.
Well, we know why. Because Rooney was dropped.
Yeah, exactly. And I was particularly happy about Rooney being dropped. It just had to happen. And it just coincidentally happened to be that I saw a blimp in the sky and it happened to be Wayne Rooney flying above the city.
Yeah.
I think that there are two key points in here. Obviously, Rooney being dropped allows Mata to play his rightful position, and what a spectacular performance Juan Mata actually had conducting things. People made a lot of noise about Paul Pogba playing well, which he did. Yeah. But again, very similar to the Arsenal game, there wasn't one player who was horrible except for Antonio Valencia in this
game. But people were criticizing where Pogba played and saying that that's why he's playing back, because he's a bit deeper in the box to box. But this game, he was also in that position because Mata was number 10 and he still played well. So clearly, it's just the getting into form thing. It's not necessarily just a position.
It's not positional solely, but it's also this game, he roamed around a lot. Yeah. He wasn't fixed. But the two things that are really important, one was we talked about Rooney, but the other was Fellaini not being there and Ander Herrera taking that spot. Because Ander Herrera is mobile as anything. Right. If Paul Pogba is going to run around, you need someone who can cover the space that he leaves behind him. And Ander Herrera did a fantastic, fantastic job of intercepting and moving the ball quickly, which Fellaini is completely incompetent at doing.
Well, I was going to say, not only is he more mobile, but he's actually just a better footballer all around. Yes. He's a better passer of the ball. He's got a great shot on him. We've discussed United so many times over the last 3 years, and we're like, why doesn't Schneiderlin play? Why doesn't Herrera play? Why doesn't Mata play in his right position? And finally, these things happened, Schneiderlin aside, and we saw the result.
Mm?
You might disagree with me. I don't actually think United were that good yesterday, I thought they started off really badly. I thought they didn't look confident, and I think they grew into it absolutely and looked a lot better towards the end. But 3 out of the 4 goals were set pieces.
Yeah, Leicester giving away that, I was really surprised.
I'll tell you what you're talking about. The first 10 minutes were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But you could actually tell that once Pogba and Zlatan, and they started doing these 1-2 passes between them.
Confidence grew.
That's when the team, it was like this train, they just picked up, yes. And then they murdered them.
But Alex is right. I was watching the game and I was thinking, why are Leicester giving away so many goals from set pieces? It's so not them. You got Huth and Morgan in there. I mean, Fuchs was at mistake for 2 of them. He had a really bad game.
I mean, the only way to explain that is they were completely out-muscled. Pogba out-muscled Fuchs. Zlatan's in the box. We've already seen him climbing all over Morgan.
Yeah.
So from a physical perspective, not surprising to see that set pieces were the way to go. But yes, I do agree with Alex. They started a bit flat. They grew into it. But when they did grow into it, they looked very good.
And by the way, the fact that they scored from corners was not an accident. It was by design. Because if you look at this season, one thing Louis van Gaal said last season all the time was, the other team is taller than us. The other team is bigger than us. What Mourinho did this season was bring Pogba, Zlatan, Bailly, Smalling is playing. They are huge. And that is actually by design. And you can see that by even the corner routine that led to Rashford's goal. Herrera was actually yelling at them to do that routine from the back. So this is stuff that they work on. And it came to fruition.
Are you saying then it would have been 6 or 7 had Fellaini also been on the pitch?
This is possible.
But Mourinho said after the game, because obviously he was going to get asked about Rooney. And he said, we didn't win because Rooney didn't play.
Right.
Which I disagree with.
Yeah.
I think that Rooney not being in the lineup was the best thing that happened to this United team.
I don't think that's what he's saying. Because he's saying we started the first 3 games and won with Wayne Rooney. we can win with Ray Rooney, we just won a different way. I don't think that was an interesting perspective on that.
I mean, Alex, you brought up that quote. You also have a quote here written down saying that Mourinho said, he's a big player for me.
Oh, yeah.
he's a blip that Richey saw.
He's massive.
Last point before we move on from this game was just regards to Leicester. Slimani up top, a lot of people were wondering why didn't a bigger team take a punt at him, or a Leicester, Tottenham, no offense, kind of team take a punt at him a few seasons back. Mm. And I kind of saw why in this game, because he's just ahead. Literally, whenever he got the ball at his feet, he looked useless. He looked slower than Giroud. He looked like he couldn't contribute anything in a build-up. Like, he just needed to be up there. And that doesn't work for the bigger teams.
I want to say let's wait on Slimani, because the Slimani that... I know Portuguese League is a very different thing.
Right.
But Slimani that we saw was technically a lot better than that. And he's getting used to this team who don't seem to know what they're doing anymore.
The problem is he looked incredibly slow, and I don't see how that will ever improve regardless.
But he's there to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to run from,
But also 30, he doesn't fit the style that Leicester actually play. You notice, like, in the first 10 minutes, Leicester had some pretty good chances.
Yeah.
And what they do is they just get the ball and they ping it forward. And he's probably looking like, where's the build-up play? Like, this is what he's used to doing, but he's not getting that opportunity.
But playing Slimani is also a sacrifice. I mean, there were two reasons that Leicester didn't get outnumbered in central midfield last year playing a 4-4-2. One of them, obviously, Kante.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that when you have Okazaki dropping deeper than Vardy, he fills in a lot of the space and he does a lot of that work. If you've got Vardy and Slimani up front, that's a straight 4-4-2.
It is.
You don't have anyone, like Vardy dropped a bit deeper, but Slimani's not helping back. Right, and this game to me felt more like an Okazaki game where you want someone who's going to put
who's
that work
graph,
in.
Yeah.
Because Leicester were playing on the break.
Sorry, quick question: where is not from Nigeria? Where the hell is Musa? Because we know the speed is ridiculous, and I'm just curious as to why they wouldn't use that.
He's very hard to see. I mean, he might. You're like, where is he? I want to bring him on.
Because if you're going to use Slimani as a point guy,
you
probably want two really, really blistering fast guys on the other
side. And what, drop Vardy?
Well, I'll break
him. It's a mystery. I mean, there were a lot of people who picked Musa on their fantasy teams because he was expected to score goals and assists. Yes, actually. Yes. Guilty.
That goal against Barcelona in the friendly screwed up so many people, including myself.
All right, next we have Liverpool versus Hull. And... Liverpool, we talk about this for like 2 weeks now where we say, they can do this to teams. And Alex always mentions about how the past few seasons they beat the big teams, they didn't beat the little teams. And now they're starting to look like they're going to do it. Liverpool looked unbelievably good. Sturridge again on the bench because it doesn't seem to work for Klopp with the start. He likes Firmino up top. He likes the whole like everybody just moves, all the little guys, Coutinho, Mane. Yeah, chaos. Should buy Sanogo. And they look fantastic. They have 5-1 win.
And I think, there were a lot of questions in the transfer window when he signed so many attacking midfielders. Everyone thought, where is he going to put them? But with the whole rotational system, with the attack in the midfield, it looks flawless right now.
Milner was unbelievable.
The runs are coming in from deep. That's how the chances are just coming out thick and fast, out of nowhere. They're scoring goals in like fours and fives.
Yeah.
This is like a dangerous looking team.
It really is amazing when you see a manager who has a specific, to use the word, philosophy, and is allowed to actually use that philosophy in a league that, like in England, if you're going to play fast and aggressive like Klopp likes, that's kind of the template, right?
Yeah.
And last season was up and down, but you give him a season, you let him actually work his stuff. Jurgen Klopp is a brilliant, brilliant manager, and is finally showing. And it's scary because now Liverpool are a really good team who I don't want to face.
Well, this is why when we were talking about Conte, like if I was a Chelsea fan, I wouldn't be too worried. He's six games in.
Well,
Klopp did nothing to improve Liverpool last season.
Absolutely
on the
nothing.
Face of it, right? Yes. They had the same points. They were in the same position as when Brenda took over. But now you're seeing the results.
Well, Klopp lost to Burnley a few weeks back, and people were up in arms and like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. But when you're trying to apply something new, you will have those blips. You will have that, we lost to Burnley and then we beat Chelsea. Like, you will have that inconsistency a little bit. And I think we've been saying this about Liverpool for 2-3 seasons now. It's just consistency in two ways. One, over 90 minutes consistency, and then over a season consistency. They start hitting those two targets, and they can win the league. Like, I don't see why not.
There's another important point you're talking about when you talk about consistency. It's consistency in defending.
Yeah.
And that's where, what's his name? The guy,
Matip
comes into play, because they've had horrendous centre-backs and horrendous team defending.
Yes.
And it looks, I'm not going to say it's been fixed, but it looks like over the last couple of games, they found a solution.
It does. One more thing about Liverpool is that yeah, if you look at the last two seasons, every odd season they've done really well, and you know, even came close to winning the league. But they've achieved all of their goal gluts mostly in first halves of games.
Right. Yeah. Because the high intensity comes in, boom, 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 and then like you like people get caught out and they score like three goals. Like they did it to Arsenal, they did it to Chelsea.
Exactly. So it's up to them really to keep that intensity up for 90 minutes consistently over the course of the season.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Mike Phelan.
Yeah, 5-1. Is he 51 by any chance?
Was it Robert Snodgrass who scored for Hull again?
No, it was
Myler.
Unfortunately, yeah, it was Myler. Great finish.
It was a great finish.
But like I had like Liverpool defenders, and you know, if they're winning five, like in my fantasy, and if you're gonna win 5-0, why concede that goal? You just ruined like ruined my life.
Klopp actually said that he was like, it would have been nice to get a clean sheet for once.
Yeah. Anyways, last point Lallana, I gotta give a shout out.
Oh yeah,
He has been phenomenal for a few games now. Obviously, the Coutinhos and the Firminos and the Brazilian flair will get a lot of talk, but Lallana to me has been absolutely crucial. I was talking to Alex, and I know it's a bit, you know,
controversial.
Yes, it is controversial, but I feel Lallana can be Santi's Liverpool in the sense that Liverpool Santi in a sense that forget about comparing the two players, but it's just. They do similar things. Like Lallana has that two-footedness, really tight space control. The difference is Lallana also has a bit of end product. He has that assist and goal in him, especially the goals recently. And you know what? If he can keep up that form, he's undroppable at this point.
Interesting point. There's an air of disagreement here. Please, Bernie.
I'm just not sure what he's talking about. Because like, I get it. He is a talented footballer. You have to be. He is two-footed. But he's not flexible in the sense of Santi Cazorla, who can play from a number 10 and then go play, you know, a deep line playmaker. He will never have the footballing intelligence to do that.
No, Cazorla's only doing that because he's old.
But Cazorla can do because he's also smart.
Lallana might do it when he's old.
Not that.
Oh, come on. That's not true at all.
I'm somewhere in between. I think Santi Cazorla is a better footballer overall. To say, I don't think we can rule out that Lallana can get there. I just think it's a bit.
Saying Chamberlain can get there.
Like, no, it's different.
Guys,
it's different.
Look, I'm not comparing the players. I'm just saying the style of play is very similar. That two-footedness, the ambidextrous like ability, that very tight spaces. Mm-hmm. Like he just looks very similar in what he does. Whether he's as good or worse is not the case, right? I just feel like he's a very, very important player for them, and he makes it work in those tight places because they like that little tippy tappy. Right?
He's been red hot, and so has Liverpool's form.
Oh, red hot, nice. Moving on to City. They're
boring now because they keep beating the hell out of everybody.
They played Swansea in the League Cup in midweek, beat them, and then they played them again now in the Premier League. To be fair, it was quite a tight game up till 1-1. I mean, it was 1-1 at one point, and they got a soft-ish penalty. Still a penalty?
No, it was a penalty. He got slapped in the face.
Okay, but I mean, the defender already had the ball. He didn't have to do it. I guess it was unnecessary. Yeah.
It's one of those where, like, if it's not given, you go, okay, fine. It's not.
Yeah,
it's
that's what I felt.
It's not that big of a deal.
No, you're like, they'll score three or four anyway.
It's like, well, do you need that help? Yeah. I don't think so.
No, Aguero's back.
Back in the lineup, two goals. I mean, he's got 27 in 27 for City.
It's not bad.
Yeah, with his injury record, he could be breaking way more like goal scoring records. Yeah. He's very unlucky as well.
And De Bruyne injured as Aguero comes in.
Apparently 4 weeks or so hamstring.
That's right, four weeks hamstring injury.
Don't worry about it.
I mean, as Bernie pointed out, even though he's injured, you got Leroy Sané waiting to come and play.
Yeah.
And he's going to do exactly how Guardiola says.
Yeah. I mean, this game, they were missing someone. Nolito was missing because of his red card. So they also have Nolito to still come in. Like, they have a lot of players to play.
And let's not forget about Jesus Navas.
Jesus Navas is a brilliant...
Let's forget about Jesus Navas.
Yes, let's forget about
it.
But Pep uses it, so...
I am curious, like, even though we did say Leroy Sané will come in and maybe fill that gap, he's still young, he's still raw. I think Guardiola has a great player there, but... De Bruyne's influence is very, very different.
He's their best player.
It's absolutely different level of influence. Can you replace that? Maybe shift the focal point of the attack or something like that? Yeah. I don't know, maybe. But we'll see.
Well, in this game, Bakary Sagna got an assist. That's how you really know things are going for you. But yeah. I mean, I don't know if you noticed the ball from Fernandinho to Sagna for that goal. It was remarkable.
Yeah.
It was absolutely remarkable.
Fernandinho's having a fantastic season. I mean, he's obviously not going to get talked about because there's the De Bruyne's and Aguero's there. And the same way... again, not comparing them, but the same way...
You can compare that one.
No, I was going to say, the same way Busquets didn't get talked about for a long time, they're not this, obviously the same quality, but they do so much important stuff, but because you've got so much flair around you, you're not going to get talked about. But he's been fantastic. I mean, he bossed the United midfielder and Pogba in that game, for example. Like, mm-hmm. Anyway, he's been fantastic. Sterling goal, third goal was all confidence.
It really was.
You know, you don't leave Aguero...
Super good.
You know, standing there with an open goal, not giving the ball.
You know what's funny? There are going to be a lot of England fans who are going to be like, Sterling, yes!
Yeah.
Lallana, yes! Rashford, yes! We're going to win everything! And then they're going to fall flat again.
Yeah.
But that's a side note.
Well, but then you've got Sam Allardyce to balance it all out.
Speaking of international competition, sort of, Man City have Celtic midweek.
Mm.
So is that going to be like 5-6 or 7-0? Nil?
Okay, Barcelona was what?
7?
7.
5.
Yeah.
5-0.
I like that. Relative.
How many missed penalties for Aguero, though?
Yeah, three.
Three missed penalties.
I'll give him two.
And he still gets a hat-trick.
I was going to say London. It wasn't in London. Middlesbrough played Spurs.
Nowhere near.
Spurs winning that game 2-1.
Heung-min Son.
Yeah, he was...
The most determined player on the field because he had a magnificent finish.
He did.
He's been pretty good this season.
He's been on fire.
He has five
goals in three games.
Yeah, I think he's got like five goals and an assist in the last six.
Something like that.
We were a bit disappointed with last season. I know, Mohamed, you were particularly excited. Yes. And at the end, started calling him shit, as you usually do. But you were excited about Son, and now...
He was great in the German league. He looked so good.
I mean, a lot of people look great in the German league and then look like crap.
Sure, like Kagawa in...
Don't ever talk about
that
again.
But yes.
I like Mkhitaryan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Janssen played up top. He was incredibly shit, to put it in Bernie's words. But
I use the word shit.
Like his hold up play was very good. He didn't have that many chances really to score. I think he brought other players into the game. He got the assist for Son's goal.
Right. How's Dele Alli one season wonder doing?
He's only played one season. Like, what else are you going to do?
Next season when he will be...
And he's doing pretty well.
We'll ask you the same thing.
I'm just going to throw this out there, but, you know, Alex seems very defensive of his Tottenham players. His Spurs brethren.
Listen, I know, Alex is that Tottenham fan. He's a good son. That's all that it is.
Much like Hung Ming.
We have it on record as well.
Speaking of Middlesbrough, though, I mean, we can't forget him here. They're not playing that bad. But they're not getting the results for their performance. Negredo's doing everything he can to kind of...
Yeah.
But it's just not clicking. I mean, it's...
There's not really... They don't really have much going forward.
No.
And they brought Callum Chambers in to the defensive line, and that made things worse.
Can I just read Alex's note about Callum Chambers on the agenda
here?
It says, Callum Chambers, he was shit. I mean, I think that sums it up.
I'm just going to say about Middlesbrough, nothing they do this season matters because... Sunderland are terrible. Stoke are worse.
Yeah.
And Hull may still go down in the end. Burnley.
Burnley will
so
go down.
Anything Middlesbrough do, it's, they're fine. They're
pick up some draws.
Spurs are playing City next week.
That's going to be a huge game. They're both the undefeated teams in the league.
Who?
Spurs and City.
Spurs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
It's under the radar, man. They're second.
Does that make you happy, Alex?
Yeah.
Spurs?
Spurs, eh? Anyways, I didn't know.
Why did I not know they exist this season?
Yeah.
Because you don't pay attention.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happened last season. I was like, forget it. And
also,
then all of a sudden they went...
Kane hasn't started scoring goals yet, and that's when people care about Spurs. So, like, at this point, like, it's not happening.
I really don't care about Kane anyway.
He's injured for, like, what, 5 weeks?
Four or five.
Sunderland Crystal Palace was probably one of the most exciting games. Sunderland started the scoring with two goals from none other than, obviously, the focus. He's the only one that can score a goal.
Yeah, no one else is capable.
And then Crystal Palace came back with three. They usually don't... They've scored a lot recently, but it's not something we know about Palace. And they've scored three goals coming back. The last one in, like, the 94th from Benteke.
Yeah.
The thing is, you see that goal, and he was literally hovering outside the box. And he just jogged in, boom, header. It's like, can anyone from the Sunderland team see Benteke standing there?
He's huge.
And he's in fluorescent yellow.
Like, you have to be able to see that big monster coming in there. Sunderland are a shambles, and I just don't know if it's Moyes' fault. Like, I'm not sure if I can blame the man anymore.
But look at what Big Sam was getting out of the squad. I mean, the squad is a little bit worse than it was because they lost some players, but he had them defending properly, had them getting results.
Yeah, and then he lost his only useful defender in Younes Kabul.
He's not even that good.
Well, Sunderland useful, right?
So
I'm going to throw out a question. Is this the game Adama Traore was playing in?
No, that was for Middlesbrough.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Why do you like?
Because we were talking about player sizes and, you know, and ticket. Oh, God. And yeah. Alex had actually made a comment about Traore saying he's as big as a house.
He is massive. He is. But, like, not in a Rooney, like, Troy Deeney way. Like, he's just jacked. Like, he's Akinfenwa.
Yeah. Here's a stat for you. Sunderland have not won their past 25 Premier League games in August or September. Which means Sunderland fans should only start following the Premier League come November.
Yeah, forget season tickets, man. Yeah, like, that's just 2 months out.
I think they should just give up. Go down. Like, yes. Just go down and do yourselves and do everyone else a favor and just go down.
We can have the Sunderland-Newcastle games. Yeah. Like, you know,
because they're coming back up. Yeah. But I would love to see Sunderland go down just because Moyes has been conservative in his approach to the season. Yeah. And it would be just great to see him get tossed right back on Champions League.
I agree.
Championship.
And in fact, just on that, Moyes said, we didn't give ourselves a chance. Which is funny because you were 2-0 up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was like, we didn't give ourselves a chance because they conceded the first goal right after they scored the second. So he was like, there wasn't even time to like bring on an extra defender or midfielder. I'm like, you've got to stop thinking like that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, moving on. I can't take Moyes anymore. Bournemouth beat Everton 1-0, which is Everton's first loss of the season because they've been playing fantastic. Bolasie looked good this game, as he has in the last couple of games, but Bournemouth, they really held on. Like, Everton had all the chances here. And this was 3 points that I would say not 100% deserved, but you need those.
Oh, I disagree. I thought Bournemouth were really good. Yeah.
I thought Everton really should have at least got the draw. Wilshere actually, it was his first good game for Bournemouth. Like, his first proper one, because, like, the last ones he was actually quite bad. Like,
I mean,
really bad.
The City game was horrendous.
The one before was horrendous. Was
so I've been trying to see if this guy's actually improving. And
No, he did. This game, he was actually really good. Got subbed in like the 76th or so. And up to that point, he played fantastic. He was actually really useful.
Another one for England.
Yeah. I mean, for England, he has 6 men of the match.
Big Sam. Big Sam's watching.
Yeah. Alex, you really enjoyed this junior Stanislas goal.
What a hit, son.
It was great.
What a hit. Tracer beam.
Top left.
Tracer beam.
Steckenberg
is rubbish.
Is very rubbish.
He's quite bad. If there's a player that heads your arm and the ball into the net like Negredo did last week, you're crap.
Steckenberg, first game of the season, was amazing. And that was the last of his powers. Right. And the rest of it is gone.
Like, he's never been good, though. Like, I've never liked him anywhere.
Wasn't he good at the Holland World Cup 2010? Well,
like, yes, but that's a flash in the pan. Like, six,
No, but I'm saying he was at... I don't know where he was. But he was great. And then he was supposed to go to the big teams, and then that never happened. Maybe because he was actually bad.
He was in Italy.
Roma?
Yeah.
He
was horrendous there. That's where it started.
Yeah, complete fraud.
But we'll get to Roma later, but their solution was to get Chesney in. So
you can't really trust their judgment.
True.
Last game, Stoke.
To be fair, that means I can't trust any of your judgments either.
Why? Chesney, we hate him.
No, now. You didn't.
We liked him at the time.
Especially when Cech was rumored. You didn't want
him. Yeah,
buddy, that was after.
I'm just saying, guys. I'm just fact checking you.
Context,
that's all it is.
Which is 5 years.
Don't let him talk.
Buddy.
Well, we all know that Mohamed has a love or hate relationship on a weekly basis with just about everyone.
5 years of Manuel Almunia.
Yeah, that's true. Stoke 1, West Brom 1. Now, these are two teams that do not need keepers against each other because no one ever tries to attack. Mark Hughes, I'm so happy with his downfall. Like, I just can't stand it.
Oh, it's great.
Sorry
to cut you off. Who do you guys hate worse, Tony Pulis or Mark Hughes? Because I know you hate both of them.
I'll tell you why.
Mark Hughes.
Tony Pulis comes out and says it as it is. I defend. I try and get money. Mark Hughes tries to be all the European manager in his suit. It's like, no, get back in your trainers and be who you are.
Yeah.
That's why I hate him more.
It's
true. Anyway, like Big Sam, you know, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
Pulis knows who he is. Everybody, like, they know their place. Hughes tries to get that extra level. You're not that guy. Yeah. You're just not like
him. He's like, let me get Gianelli and Bula and not have a clue what to do.
Anyways, so West Brom, last minute equalizer. They've actually been scoring goals recently because Pulis, you know, heard about the Chinese takeover.
They've scored twice. Oh, they've scored in 2 games in a row. So that's well done.
Wow.
Yeah. This is his thousandth game, though, Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
It's been around forever.
Oh, like you at all levels.
Not at West Brom.
Pulis for England next.
Why not?
I mean, it will happen at some point when they go through the rotation.
After Pardew.
After Steve Bruce.
If Roy Hodgson got it, I mean, you know.
Mike Phelan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, anything's possible.
I get it.
No.
So, wait, Alex, you've got a really great stat here. He's played 1,000 games. Wow. It's basically 3-3-3-3, like it's basically a third.
He's got like 300 something wins, 300 something draws, 300 something losses, which makes you wonder what is the point of
What is the point? Like, there's no point.
Of the pack, Tony Pulis.
I think that pretty much covers all the games. There's a game tomorrow, I can't remember who exactly. Burnley didn't play. It's Burnley and someone.
West Ham lost again to Southampton.
Yes,
today.
They did. 2-0. They got absolutely thrashed. 3-0.
Was it 3?
3.
Yeah, they scored at the very end.
I don't know why I enjoyed
it. At home, too. They were at home.
Yeah. Well, you're enjoying it because last season they were making a lot of noise, and Payet's the best player in the world, and Bilic is the best manager in the world, and blah, 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 blah.
I'm really, really enjoying West Ham downfall to a point that's unnecessary.
I legitimately believe that Rabona assist by Payet broke West Ham.
That was a downfall.
Yeah, after that, they conceded 4, 5, 3. Everything has been destroyed after that assist.
Nothing to do with James Collins then.
No.
I mean, nothing to do with James Collins. The new stadium. Nothing to do with Slaven Bilic being absolutely nonsensical. Yeah. And absolutely nothing to do with the fact that team is actually fraud. Like,
well,
this is what they do.
I mean, Tompkins looked horrendous.
He plays for Crystal Palace.
No.
Yep.
Collins. He was playing today. Who's the right back?
Collins.
Not Collins. Right back at West Ham.
Byron?
Antonio?
Byron's
are you serious?
Anyways, I can't remember.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But who cares?
Creswell is the left back.
No, he's injured.
But he's injured. Anyways.
This is a quiz question.
Again, Antonio looked like the most dangerous player on the field. Sako looks really bad. And it's just nothing was happening. I mean, Southampton looked fantastic. Like,
Sako wasn't supposed to be here.
they tried very hard to get rid of him.
And Southampton looked so good. Charlie Austin with an assist and a goal. Fantastic goal with his left foot, bottom right. Like, that's a very hard skill to do, especially on your weaker foot. Tadic, just, you know, pulling all the strings. He looked fantastic, too.
Tadic has been a Rolls Royce for Southampton for like 3-4 seasons now.
What's his name? Norwich guy up top. Redmond.
He was
fantastic as well.
Did he get any assists? I have the bugger in my fantasy midfield. He's not done anything for the last three weeks.
He's played well, though. That's a problem. You need the points. It's not about playing well.
Sure fault for picking him. You know?
Well, he had goals. Yeah.
I love Alex talking down to you about fantasy teams.
Alex is like,
the single worst team I've ever seen in my entire life.
I changed it all.
Speaking, by the way, Alex, if you want to talk about player size, Michael Antonio is also a bathtub.
He's a bathtub. I agree.
We should have the bathtub awards and see.
Or is he a bookshelf?
No, bookshelf is like, look at Alex's bookshelf. He's bigger than that.
That's quite big.
This is an audio medium.
Anyways,
let us know your thoughts on Twitter.
I like that. Yeah, Bernie pointing out something on the radio. All right. Well, I think that signifies it is time for Mum of the Week.
All right.
Happy Mum. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
So we're back again with my favorite segment, Mumu of the Week, where we tell you all about the biggest idiots in the world of football off the pitch. And this week, we start with West Ham United. And okay, I'm going to say the club as a whole, as opposed to just whoever their DJ is.
Okay.
Because they've had a horrendous experience at the London Stadium so far with that green running track nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
But to compound their problems, they were actually so playing crowd noise through the speakers and hoping that would filter down to the players and make them play
that
better.
That is tragic.
They were getting savaged on Twitter, and even the commentator pointed that out to say, this is not actually the crowd. This is the speaker.
Let me put it in perspective. If an MLS club had done this, everybody would be like, tin putt league, what are you doing? Football or soccer is not for you. It would have been an absolute disgrace.
It's true.
The fact that this has happened in the Premier League at a London club is absolutely a shambles.
Yeah.
Like, it's
not
disgraceful.
Only that, but a club that hasn't or seemingly hasn't really priced people out. Like, they have reasonable ticket prices, so you would think the atmosphere would be decent. But no, that's horrendous.
Yeah. And you can't tell me that just because you have an Olympic stadium with a track around it, you can't provide atmosphere. We were at the Roma-Torino game in Italy where there was maybe like a quarter of the stadium.
You need full.
Well, you're forgetting about the Hertha Berlin game, which is also at a track, but they were the best fans.
Sure, but the Roma one that Bernie was talking about, there were like 15,000 people.
And it was so loud.
It was unbelievable.
Loud.
So I don't. There's no excuse for that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's no secret that the fans in England are the worst.
Yeah, well, depends when.
And if you don't think so, prove it wrong, you know.
So
we're at Roche, whatever, 4231 on Twitter and go after him.
Yes.
Roche 4231.
That's his formation. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Twitter, Everton are the second Moomoo this week, not only for losing for Bournemouth, but before the game, they preempted the game. You know that when they tweet their starting lineup, yeah. what have you? So they did it with pictures. And on the picture of Phil Jagielka, something looks a bit off. So you look a bit closer.
Well, that's regular for Jagielka.
Well, right. Yeah. But then you look a bit closer and there's like another head behind his head. And it becomes very clear that they've just stuck his face on Holgate's
body.
Yes. Like Holgate's hair is still around the outside of Jagielka's face.
It kind of looks like he's got like big wig on.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's so funny. It's like Jagielka's face on Holgate's head.
Like, did they really think in this era of scrutiny that they would get away with this?
Don't they have money?
Yeah, like so.
Does this even cost anything?
I mean, but they have someone who works in their marketing department to
not
do
anymore.
Photoshop.
Not yeah. anymore. He's fired.
He's fired.
But have they even seen this? They haven't seen this mistake.
Sure. My question is, the person who did this job, did they hire him properly? Did they go through his portfolio and just not see a bunch of heads behind everything?
Well, I mean, maybe Martinez hired him before he left, and that's why he's doing such a horrible job.
Must be a university student.
Yeah.
Rushe said that with so much disgust on
Rushe
his face.
Rushe hates university students.
But I've noticed that there's a trend. Every time we do Moomoo of the Week, some social media intern needs to get sacked.
I'll be Moomoo.
All right, so our European segment, Alex has named this the European sample platter.
Yep.
Can't wait to get some naan.
That's not European.
Actually, it is. I mean, butter chicken is like London's main dish.
Yes.
Chicken tikka masala.
Okay, so we got some naan. We got what?
Kebabs on the side, some...
You're making this Arab and Indian.
I'm making it everything, like all foods from the world that come in platters.
He's making it pasta,
ravioli.
Sure. Okay.
Speaking of immigrants, Mario Balotelli is doing well.
Hey.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's doing well in like in a space of a week. So I mean.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we just said Lallana has been doing well in a space of a week. So let's give Balotelli something.
I mean,
it is the French league.
Sure. Okay, no credit for Balotelli.
Yeah, forget it. No, but Nice are top. Nice are top
of the league.
He scored what, two?
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. See,
this is why we do this segment, because everyone else is also like, wow, what?
Unai Emery getting sacked in the morning.
To be fair, they're second or third 1 point off or something. Like
yeah,
that,
but so. Still, he's actually having quite a bad season. I mean, PSG are supposed to steamroll this league, you know, the way Bayern are supposed to, and Juve will get
but
to that.
PSG lost on Friday.
They
to
did.
Toulouse, who have an average
who have an average age
of 21. So you know,
wow. Yeah, I mean. Either way, the best thing about Unai Emery this season is he told Hatem Ben Arfa stop being lazy because he's not Lionel Messi.
That's important to say to Ben Arfa.
Yeah. So back to Balotelli, I guess he scored two and two in. Yeah, he scored four and two.
Four and two.
And then two. So two and then two.
So four and two.
Yes, it's very confusing, but you know what I mean. And that's I think the first time he's done that in ever or like in forever. One of those two.
I just wish my hope is that he stays at Nice for the rest of his career. I think it would be a great story. Don't worry about life.
Yeah.
It's a great place to live. You make decent money. Like,
yep.
He doesn't need anything.
No.
Just keep playing there.
But how is his attitude? I'm actually genuinely concerned for Balotelli. Because
he already came late to training once between those two games.
So, okay, so there's a few things. But when you see a player who's got a mental problem like Balotelli.
Wow.
Like, what's his name?
Bentner.
No. Bentner. Yes, Lord Bentner.
Yeah.
You generally want to see these players fix their shit and get it together.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I hope that Balotelli can.
The fact that Balotelli is still relevant as a player, because at this point, he's supposed to fall off the face of the earth. We forget about him, move on with our lives. But the fact that he scores for Nice, we bring it up on the pod. Balotelli has something, which is, I think it's that hope. It's that like distant hope that he will turn into something good.
It's also charisma, right?
Yeah.
Like, if he was a boring git, no one would care. But he's
Milner
interesting.
Like,
yeah.
But he's one of those players that, I know we've had a lot of them, but in recent times who you know is actually
talented,
brilliant
yeah.
on his day. We're talking after Euro 2020, so people were talking about okay, who's going to be the next generation of superstar after Ronaldo,
yeah.
Messi. But Balotelli's name was consistently there.
Yeah.
He just never got to that point.
I mean, so was Anderson's.
No.
Anyways, so that covers all our Spanish or
French
talk.
Yeah.
Moving to Spain, Barcelona beat Sporting 5-0.
It was their turn.
It was.
Yeah.
No Messi, no Iniesta. Still beating teams 5-0. Not bad.
Is this fun for Barcelona? I'm genuinely curious. Is this fun in terms of like, I know you're laughing and laughing at the other team because they're so crap, but is it fun?
Well, it's like playing, being an advanced FIFA player and putting it on easy for a while.
Yeah. I mean,
was easy.
I was like, what the hell is Alex doing? He literally slapped down.
Like every week, every time, hee-haw, enter the fray and play one of the good teams, they get beaten 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. I mean, it's a joke. Do they even have a field?
Wow.
No.
Do they even have 11 players?
No. You need something for the donkey to eat. You need grass.
But I feel like, you know, all the shopkeeper's sons are just playing football for...
It's not an amateur side.
It's not, yeah. I mean, to be just because they sound like a donkey.
Yeah.
But how many teams are there in Spain?
I do know that a lot
what
of teams...
What is Rochet talking about?
A lot of teams in Spain are terrible. I know this. I think that's where he's going in his convoluted
They also sound like... They sound like a dip. They sound like mustard.
Gijon?
Dijon.
Well, there's a French team called Dijon.
Oh, yeah?
There's a French team called Brest.
I'd love to organize...
Do they like to spread the play?
Okay.
I'd love to organize a friendly with Sporting Gijon.
Well, and us?
And under the
Rochet thinks he's going to win.
Wow.
Wow.
He's like, whatever sports can do, I hear.
I think he needs to recover.
It'd be a good social experiment.
It would be fantastic, yeah. And then we'll need therapy after. So Real drew with Las Palmas 2-2. There you go. Seemingly nobody drawing with Real, so that's fantastic.
Actually not true. Las Palmas have been doing fantastic this season with KPB.
Kevin Prince bought that.
Oh.
Wow, okay. I didn't know you guys were close like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, Ronaldo got subbed in the 76th, the earliest he has ever been subbed tactically.
What?
The earliest he has ever been subbed tactically at Madrid. Ever.
If Zidane does nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, he was upset. And then Las Palmas scored in the last minute. So
and he was even more upset. Yeah.
So Zidane's out. Like.
Yeah. No, apparently they did a poll and they checked Twitter and stuff, and the fans are all behind Zidane.
Oh, they
like
checked
it.
Twitter. Don't worry.
Well,
about
you know
it,
what I mean. Yeah. Like the social feel is that, you know what, Zidane can do what he wants.
Listen, just wait till he gets sacked by Perez in January. Mm. No one will care.
Ronaldo's done though.
Remember when the social feel was that Ancelotti should stay manager?
Yeah.
Just that last point. Ronaldo is done. As much as I've said it and written about it and got rinsed by someone in the comments for it, I never see such things anymore because Ronaldo was never done until he's actually
I think this
done.
Season is it.
Yeah. Guys, there are different levels of done.
Yeah.
Okay? Cast your mind back to Wayne Rooney and forget Ronaldo.
He's not that done. It's not that done.
I mean, that is like you need to be in the ground.
6 feet under.
There you go.
Atleti beat Depor 1-0, and that is all I have to say about this game.
Griezmann scored. Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
He's a fantastic player. And Valencia finally win a game.
Hey! Nani!
Wow.
Nani scored.
But they did sack their manager, so it's the new manager effect.
Maybe.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Steve Bruce?
Yeah, it's Steve Bruce. Moving on to Italy. Juve are not looking that convincing.
Give it time.
Yeah, they beat Palermo 1-0 with an own goal. Alves shooting from halfway line, hitting someone going in.
They're still winning the league, mate.
Sure.
Are they still undefeated?
Are they?
No, they lost to Inter.
They lost to Inter.
Yeah.
Who followed it up?
Shock, horror.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you weren't here last part.
That's true, Bernie was away. But Inter followed that up with a 1-1 draw to Bologna, ruining all the goodwill that they
rubbish.
You know.
Typical Italian league.
True. But Juve obviously get the 3 points, which is all that's important. And when they do, we know that Roma doesn't.
Correct.
So Roma lost to Torino 3-1.
There we go.
And I don't know why they're so up and down. Like, I mean, I know they have Chesney in goal. Strootman is playing, who hasn't played in 3 years. Dzeko is so inconsistent. Totti scored a goal, so...
He scored his 250th goal.
That's very good.
The only good thing about Roma is Totti. That's it. And I don't mean good in terms of good players. I just mean good in terms of anything I like. That's it.
I mean, I like Salah just because he's Egyptian. But other than that, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot to love about him.
Bruno Perez?
Their kit is pretty nice.
Lorenzi, okay, the kit's the best in the world.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
Yeah.
True.
All right, well, I'm glad we talked a lot about Roma there. Tactically.
He doesn't like Roger Nangalan.
I don't.
What?
His mom doesn't like
chain smoking, I don't, tattooed up, gangster looking, absolute peasant.
Well, yeah. Bernie's really prissy.
Alex mentioned Inter Bologna. Napoli beat Chievo 2-0. They're only 1 point behind Juve. They're doing well.
They're killing it.
Well, I mean, what's his name? Milik up top.
He's replaced.
He loves him.
Higuain loves him. Just slots into that team and scores a glut of goals.
Wow. A glut of goals. Yeah. Very nice. I mean, okay, I was going to make a joke about gluttony.
To be fair, Napoli have done the best in the transfer market. They got 94 million euros for Higuain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they got Milik for probably
like 30.
So like a bag of grapes. And like he's scoring all these goals.
They literally picked him up.
Yes.
Yes.
Well done.
A relative bag of grapes.
So, coming back to this side of the pond, we're going to talk about TFC. Last week, we discussed their playoff chances, and they did need to further cement their qualification hopes. And they did this week with a 1-1 draw at home to Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, yep. It wasn't a great game, but they needed a point, and they got it. So, what would you call that? Professional job?
I guess, but I mean, again, we talked about this last week. I wanted to finish as high as possible, not this like, oh, we got our point to make
it. How many more games are left in the season, do we know?
I think it's... Is it five or six? That beeping is the coffee, sorry. I think it's five or six.
Impressive, though, considering they have made progress, and that's all we can ask of them.
Absolutely. Currently, New York Red Bulls won this weekend. They beat Montreal 1-0, which took them top, but I think it's just by goal difference. So they, Toronto FC and NYCFC, are all on 48 points. Yeah. So with a few games to go, there's still a lot to play for here.
From a TFC perspective, it has to be said that, okay, like, you know, when you have these simple results, you're not losing games. And I think they've done a really good job this season of minimizing their losses. Games,
yeah. That's true.
Am I the only one that thinks Justin Morrow isn't a very good footballer?
I mean, there are a lot of people not a very good footballer.
That's true, but relatively to the team.
Why would you say that on the week that he scored a great goal?
Well, that's the thing. It's because it brought, you know, it's brought him back into
as we said, Mohamed has a love-hate relationship with everyone on a daily basis.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, Justin Morrow scores a goal, and that's,
he went
that's,
from weekly to daily. That just shows how inconsistent Mohamed is.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, Justin Morrow is such a good player.
Minute by minute, check his Twitter.
Anyways, he does have more goals this season than any MLS defender.
That is kind of impressive, I guess.
Yeah. How many?
Four. So less impressive. Well, no, you know, it's not bad for a fullback.
Hey, each goal is significant
for a fullback. That's very good, actually.
Yeah, it's really not bad. But the run from Osorio, I don't know if you saw the highlight. The run from Osorio to set him up was fantastic. It just furthered the like absolutely ridiculous thing about him not being in the Canadian national team. So
I actually have to say he's one of the amazing stories of TFC season. You know, of this season, because he's gone under the radar. Obviously, it's all about Giovinco and then the resurgence of Altidore, and obviously Will Johnson even coming in being a great center midfielder.
Say it.
But Osorio has gone under the radar and has been fantastic.
Where does he play?
What?
Where does he play?
Well, he's an attacking player. Okay. Attacking mid.
Is it in center mid?
No.
he played as the 10 in this game, which is probably his best position.
I mean, for me, you're bringing up like the good stories. I think Clint Irwin is a great story for TFC this season.
Well, he came back.
Yeah. I thought he had a lot of good games at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looked quite solid.
And this one, he made a bunch of good saves, which we've seen before.
Yeah, that's what was
one good. Of them was like point blank, man. Like, he just swung a paw at it.
Nice.
Deflected it wide.
So TFC are what? Tied top with three other teams? Oh, yeah. Two other teams. Red Bulls and NYFC.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be exciting. We should get some tickets for the playoffs. They're going to be huge.
We should. Also, I'm a bit concerned about Greg Vanney, because he said after the game, the first half, everything was slow. I was like, were you on Valium or something? Like, what?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know what he means. Come on.
What does he mean?
The play was slow. The build-up was slow. Mm. Come on.
Like, yeah, but that's not fun. It's fun to think about their coach on Valium. Anyway,
okay.
A lot of big games coming up in the next week, so we will be back next Sunday or Monday.
Champions League midweek.
Yeah.
There's a few things happening.
What's that?
Champions League?
Yeah,
what's that? Is there a Europa League guest?
That's what I'm talking about.
Everybody pumped up for Thursday?
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter @under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.